Blog Talk Radio.
It feels so good to be back.
Charisma could have number one stomach. If I be a prisoner, then I wasn't more cunning or wise. If I come outside, I'm not running. The stone lone wolf for the pack to unrun it. I really got nothing to hide about cutting. Go out in the blaze, wouldn't pop one button. I'm a merc, half hurt, lead a cop dog hunting. The pretty black one in the group, the smooth villain under fire. Cause I'm sending the words to move millions. Slide right in front of your eyes. True brilliance, it's a new bad moon on the rise. Who feeling it? New crew stealing it. Charlie, who's stealing it? Ready plus willing, it's all a true killer shit. You know we get them involved with too diligent. They say the music is strong and true militant.
You better come out with your hands up, we got you surrounded. I'm in the back, changing my outfit. We said
break, we're okay, I don't know what the fuck's going on. What's going on, people? Jeez, it's a rough start back, man. Been a couple weeks. Damn boot, DJ C-Sire's out of control, lighting on Tyson.
Yeah.
What's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun. Welcome to the Off Ramp, January 19, 2023. Have we talked in the new year yet? Happy New Year. I guess we haven't talked since probably right around Christmas. Been a couple weeks, man. Welcome back to the Off Ramp, a show for the people, by the people, and by the people. Show where me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics, and just see what's popping in your streets. My streets, streets all over the world, man. Feel free to call in 680-975-1388. I bring an array of topics to the show. We have a discussion about them. We started the show to actually have, you know, voice discussions and try to relax. So much is done on over text and Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok. Wanted to provide a place where people can actually, you know, sit down, lay down, stand up, but talk. Get their real films out and have real conversations and, you know, provide a safe place. So we hide the names and faces of the people, even though next week we'll probably do on the faces. I was supposed to do the Twitch tonight. I told my sister, don't worry about it. Because I've had a rough day in the office. So I knew I was doing the show in my drawers. So next week, I'm going to have to keep my clothes on. But feel free to call in, 929-477-3975. I had a bunch of stuff that we had to catch up on, but of course, I left my notebook at work. So we won't wing it. We just want to freestyle it. If we go 2 hours, we go 2 hours. If we go an hour, we go an hour. And we'll just see what's popping. DJ C-Sar, welcome back to the offer, man. How you been?
Happy New Year. Doing okay.
What are you dancing to? For those that can't see, DJ C-Sar is eating chicken sandwich dancing. There's no music.
I still got that song playing.
Oh, the root song? Yeah. Look, it's still thinking over here. So you've been doing all right? Had a good vacation? Had a good break? Been about a month since we've been on. Been about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you've been on the off ramp. Took a little hiatus.
Yeah. Realized.
You got to catch all up on Disney.
Yeah.
COVID.
I realize I'm the only person that likes Disney World.
And why do you say that?
Because everybody in my group was so, well, no. I had a good time. But no, it came to the realization. Bad decision.
To go to Disney World?
Bad decision to buy.
Because we invited our families?
No. To buy Mickey Mouse ears. Where the hell am I going to wear them?
I told you that them shits when you were looking at them. So what you need them for? I want my Mickey Mouse ears. What the fuck for? Like, you plan on doing some kinky shit? Like, you want to walk in the house butt-ass naked with some Mickey Mouse ears?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to feel uncomfortable.
I got to figure out a place so I can wear them outside of Walt Disney World or Walt Disneyland or, you know.
You take them to Comic-Con.
Yeah, amazing. I guess. I don't know. Like, even then, it's a little odd. But I'm definitely trying to figure out, like, how to get my youth before the next 3 years before we get back to business.
Yeah. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the offering. Welcome back, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, you know, same as always. Blessed and highly favored. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on, as always. And welcome back, man. Yeah, we've been on a nice little hiatus. Thanks to y'all little happy family road trips, or not road trips, however y'all got their little trips to Disney, giving Bob Iger and them all y'all money.
Yeah. It was definitely a road trip. We definitely drove. And it wasn't a bad drive. But definitely drove. Five of us in the van. Wife, kid, mother, sister. It was like the Adams family in that joint. The DJC Sirens parents met us down there. Her brother came down. So it was a nice little family trip. I'd never do it again, but it was a nice family trip. Who the hell is Bob Iger?
CEO of Disney.
Is Walt Disney dead? Yeah, ain't his body like frozen or something?
They supposedly say his head is cartoon frozen. Yes.
Oh, he's the dude in X-Men or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where you put the head in the body. Is that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Or what's the new Ant-Man? Ain't he a floating head?
No,
the new Ant-Man. There's a Blur in there.
MODOK,
yeah. Because that's the bootleg Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When they had the brain and the body.
I think MODOK might have came first, but...
Yeah, it's X-Men.
Oh, I believe you.
Definitely.
X-Men? This is...
X-Men.
Oh, this is X-Men and Ant-Man?
They about to get... I mean...
They gonna fuck it up, ain't they?
Yeah, they're gonna fuck it up.
I don't think they're going to mess it up, man. I think they're setting up. They could mess it up. I'm really hoping they kill off Ant-Man. They let Kang kill off Ant-Man to really show how vicious he is, to let him really, like, yo, this is a different kind of villain. And we need to start killing off some people, not just, like, you know, Iron Man snapping his finger, sacrificing himself, and even Scarlet Witch sacrificing herself. We need some people to actually die and be killed. I think this is a perfect thing. Ant-Man's third movie. They already got the next generation set up, ready to come in for the Young Avengers. And they get to introduce a new big bad in Kang, who is the type that you literally just stomp him, dude out, and kill him. So that's what I'm hoping they do.
You can't kill Lark, the King of Lark. What was that movie?
No.
When he was with the kids, super bad.
No, adult.
Grown up.
No.
Blur, you know that movie when Ant-Man was babysitting the kid and they was out there LARPing? Super bad.
Nah, I think it was like, was it Big Brothers or something like that? Or
yeah, it might have been.
Because it was him and the other dude. They had to be like the Big Brother program.
Yeah. The dude from, what's that
role
movie?
Models? Role Models? Role Models?
Yeah, role models. There you go. Role models.
Speaking of Mickey Mouse ears, the new 100th anniversary of Disney ears are out, and they are silver. Like, they look like melted silver on the ears, and they're $125.
Oh, goddamn.
And the hat, $175.
Just cheap bullshit.
I don't know. It probably is like a silver colored metal. I don't know.
Just some cheap bullshit.
People don't be
fine. Yeah, if y'all don't get like some silver spray paint and go to work.
Yeah, you're right. I got my man New York in the building. New York, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight? Oh shit, this man, I don't know what's up with the computer, but hold on, New York. Your phone looks like it's still loading up, so I'll come back to you in a second. But yeah, man, it took a little hiatus. I thought I was going to be able to do the show in Disney. Too much going on. when we got back, I was like, let's hop right back in the show. Whole family caught COVID. Well, it's not even the whole family. It's weird how COVID works, because DJ C. Sire and my mom and my sister all got on this Harry Potter ride together. Are people still ashamed of having COVID?
I'm ashamed.
Why are you ashamed of an airborne disease? That's like saying that you caught a cold. Mark, would you be upset if you told somebody you had a cold?
Yeah.
I can understand if you had like herpes or something. You shouldn't tell nobody that.
It's too late now. You can't take it back.
Yeah, so DJ C. Sire caught COVID with my mom and my sister because they all got on a Harry Potter ride.
It was the train. The damn Hogwarts Express.
But it's weird because they all tested positive. Me and my son drove back in the car with them. We never got nothing. DJ C. Sire, I'd say probably 3 months ago, thought that she was immune to COVID.
Yes, that was
until Harry Potter.
I was a superhero until Florida.
Yeah, Florida man got her, y'all.
Hey, yo, I don't mean to jump in and interrupt, but I just saw a story. Well, I think we got to take it easy on Florida, man. It was in New Jersey. A dude attacked a 73-year-old man on a train, bit his ear off, and ate through, like, a part of his face, like, to his cheekbone. Said he thought the dude was a robot.
Ooh.
The bath salts.
Yeah, he was on the phone.
That was in New Jersey?
Yeah, all the reports said that he was hot. It wasn't, like, an official. It was one of the New Jersey news thing. It was, like, yeah, he was high out of his mind. And, like, he thanked the police when they came and arrested him. He was like, yeah, y'all saved me from the robot. That robot was here to kill me. I was fighting for my life.
Hmm.
Homie thought he was in the Terminator or something.
What part of New Jersey?
Is that Westfield? Or something like that? Something with a W. I want to say Westfield, New Jersey, but I don't think I know where that's at.
It's up north by the shore. It's more like Central Jersey, but.
Biting people's ears off and chewing through their face, man.
Yeah, that sounds like some Florida man right there.
Hey. Mm. That's definitely Florida. Hey, New York, if you out there can hear me, yo, call back. But yeah, yo, we don't need to take it. We don't need to take it easy on Florida. Florida out they mind, yo. But it was a good time down there. I will say, I haven't been to Disney World since me and Blair went there our senior trip in high school. And, of course, we ain't had no money back then. Hold on, let's see if this works now. All right, there you go, my man, New York. Welcome to the offering, my brother. How you holding up tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm just happy the show is back now. Feel good to be back in the space where I can talk my shit.
Hey, I like it. Glad to have you back, my brother. Glad to have you back. But yeah, look, some observations of Disney World. Yo, it is way too expensive. When's the last time you've been to Disney World, Blur?
Senior year in high school, man.
New York, have you ever been to Disney World?
Yeah, it had to be around the same time. Well, not the same exact time, but I think like my senior year of high school.
Oh, so y'all ain't been down there as adults. Yo, it is so expensive, it's ridiculous, yo. Like me, DJ C. Siren, and our son, it probably cost us damn near $400 just in tickets. Like, just to get in the park, it costs you a day. $500.
Yeah, I think the tickets is like $100, $150 a piece, depending on which package you buy. I used to sell them at my last job, but, I mean, I just, whatever y'all want, I'll go and put it in the computer and I'll get it for y'all. But, yeah, I knew it was too expensive for me.
Bruh, I was hoping that when we get down there, we go to a little timeshare and get free tickets. We got down there, man, them Mexicans ain't want nothing to do with us, yo. I mean, it was cool. Essays was cool, they was dope, but you know how like when you walk in the hotel, everybody's all pristine, button-up suits. My man was on the phone with his feet up on the desk, like, hey, just let me know if you need something. Told him we need a toilet paper because there's six of us in the room. They gave us one roll. I said, hey, bro, I'm going to need more than just one roll for a week. Like, it was crazy, man, but I can understand why it's so expensive. Like, they really put detail into a lot of things. Like, I was really in shock at how entertaining. Because, you know, we live by Busch Gardens. It's a great park. Busch Gardens is, you know, one of those parks on the East Coast where you can spend all day there because it's so big. It has so many different sections and all that stuff. You know, Disney World really puts this stuff to shame. And I'm not even talking about just because there's so many different parks. I'm talking about DJ C. Siren bought the, you know, because she feel like she got to get the whole experience. She bought us tickets so that we could go from one park to another. You know, we couldn't get out the one park we was in. You show up at 10 a.m., you know, you can literally walk around the park until, like, we closed out one park at, like, 10 o'clock when they started doing the, like closing out the park, they're doing like magic videos on like castles in the middle of the park. We're followers. I'm like, this shit is ridiculous. And they do this every day. And I'm just like, yo, it's crazy. But there really is a ton of stuff to do. But 90% of the time, you wait in that line. Like, I mean, you wait 2 hours a ride, yo.
Unless you want $100.
But then you have to reserve times to go on rides if you pay an extra $100.
Yeah, and then I heard, like, it's really hard to even get that. Like, I was listening to this one podcaster I listened to who is a movie podcaster, but he was talking about how he'll never give Disney theme parks any more money because it's like you spend that money and then it's like you still got to wait to get in line. Like, he was saying, like, it's basically a ripoff. Like, even that advanced purchase thing, like, he went, like, apparently he got on a waiting list to go to the Star Wars thing when it first opened, and then he had to do, like, the advanced thing to purchase the ticket early, but that was a waiting list, too, and winded up having, like, pay for something and still never got to go on the ride. I said it happened to him twice. I'm like, damn, how you get, like, early access and still not be able to get on the ride you're looking for?
Bruh, it's so many.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's worth it. The problem is it's not worth it to try and be the first one to do it. Like, don't go on no ride. Don't go on no thing when it just opens. Don't go the first week. Don't go the first month. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. I couldn't imagine. I wouldn't even want to try. And, like, the thought of just saying, like, especially with all the reservations and stuff, because what they're doing now is whenever a new ride opens, you only have a virtual queue, like they're not even having you line up to ride. Like, you have to just get a spot online. And they're still doing it with the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. But for anything that just opened, I can't imagine, like, the craziness that surrounds it. I wouldn't even say it. Now, for us, everything that was new, because I was trying to ride everything that I hadn't, you know, been on before from the other times, like from the last time I was at Disney. So all the new stuff I was trying to do, and truthfully, I was a little bit worried, and it was the week before Christmas, which is still kind of a busy time. But we were able to get on everything. I was able to ride everything that I wanted to.
Yes, you did.
Without using we only paid for passes one time.
I don't know.
A lightning pass, meaning to be able to get, you know, to skip the line.
The hack of Disney is take a handicap.
That's what it is. that might have been. You do need to take a handicap.
Yeah, my mom and my sister and my grand and my mother-in-law all handicapped. Man, we were skating in them lines, yo. They buy them little rovers and them little
electric scooters.
That's what I should have posted as a picture tonight. I got to do that next week. Man, they be like, oh, you handicapped? Come on in this line, your whole family.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is pretty dope.
Yeah.
So take a handicap picture.
I mean, you pay $50 to skip the line, I guess, basically.
No, you paid $100 for the good scooters, for the old scooters.
You got the deposit back.
Oh, yeah.
You got
$50.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to rent a... This is a horrible hack, but just
rent a scooter, act like you're crippled, you know.
You know, it's $50, but that's you
look,
a lot.
That's the other hack. If you know somebody with it, if you have to drive to the park and you're not taking a shuttle, get somebody with a handicap pass.
Mm-hmm.
You still ain't gonna park close.
Mm-mm. Well,
but you're gonna park a whole lot closer than everybody else because the handicap lines, like you could tell, Disney is. Like worldwide, I didn't realize, because again, we haven't gone since, well, DJC Siren has, but me and Blur, we haven't gone since we were in high school. And I don't know how much you were aware of how big Disney was when we were in high school, but the scope of it wasn't there for me. Because we were, like, you know, we were in high school, you know, we had girls with us, you know what I mean? Like, we were just there to have fun. As you get older, you start to notice stuff, and it's like, yo, there's a lot of foreigners in Disney. And the only reason why I bring that up is because they do a really good job of preparing for a ton of handicapped people. You know, these were the biggest handicapped spaces I've ever seen in my life, you know. Like, they're prepared for you to pull up with a bus full of crippled people, you know. Every single handicapped spot is, like, 20 feet long. It is nuts. I was confused if I was supposed to park one car or two cars there. But it's only one car. Take a handicap spot with you. Take a handicapped person and a handicapped
person. I mean, that sounds about right, because you got, like, I would imagine you get people with, like, the conversion vans and the call-a-ride things, like, who people actually drive around in those. We got the big wheelchairs in them that need the whole little machine to roll them out and in the back with the lift. Yeah, I don't think they'll go about two spots.
Yeah, yo, it's like 1,000 spaces out there. Like, this ain't no, like, oh, there's a couple, like, 20 or 100. No, it's, like, it's a whole, like, if you handicap and you get there past, like, 11:30, 12, you won't burn half a battery getting to the front line. And that still ain't the non-handicap parking lot. Like, the non-handicap parking lot, like, you're going to get about 4,000 steps in before you get to the front of the park. It's crazy. And I don't want to stay on Disney too long. Just because, you know, it's boring talking about somebody's vacation, but I just want to tell y'all how impressed I was. So we went to the Star Wars park, and I don't know how, if y'all are familiar. You know, it's amazing how much detail they put in this stuff. Like, you're walking in, what is that, Universal Hollywood Studio?
It's not Universal, it's Disney Hollywood.
Disney Hollywood Studio, right?
Hmm.
And you can tell... When they first made it, it was racist because they got the old ragtime when you first walk in, and you know.
It wasn't racist.
Yeah, you could tell.
No, they made it like in the 90s.
No, that was the 90s. It was like the 60s.
They make it look that way, baby. It wasn't built until.
Oh, it wasn't built until then? Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was
No.
Okay, yeah. So they make it look like the racist time in America, right? So, I mean, it's not
like
very colorful, you know. Got the little, what's my man with the leather jacket, Phil?
Michael Jackson?
No, white dude. Happy dude.
Fonzie?
50s.
Yeah, it's like that feel when you first walk in, right? So you walk around for like an hour and you turn a corner. And then you start hearing these like creepy noises. And then next thing you know, you're like in Star Wars land. And they got like buildings on buildings of like broken ships and mountains, and they really make you feel like you're in. And of course, like, you know, there's a bunch of kids running acting like dickheads, but I was impressed by the level of detail they put in like mountain structures just to make it look like you're in the Star Wars universe.
That was good.
Yeah, because you spend a lot of time in line, and you know, most people are on their phone, but I try to just really look around and see what's going on. Like, the whole time you waiting in line, it's the white starship troopers are chasing Chewbacca through the fucking park. But it's not like they're running full speed with guns and all that stuff. But like, you see Chewbacca and he's like taking pictures with people and all that stuff. And then next you know, he like breaks out. And I'm like, damn, like, yo, what's he doing? And then like, 2 minutes later, you see like all Starship Trooper people walking. Stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers, man.
Yeah, there you go. And then they're like taking pictures with people, but people are like, he's not here. And they're like, watch your mouth or we'll take you in. Like, there, it's like a whole, it's like you're in a theme park while people are acting around you. So they make it feel like you're in like a city with stuff going on all around you. I wouldn't be able to do it. I give them all the props in the world. But the dopest thing,
you know what's funny? I used to work with a lady who's like a real big Disney fan. Like, we actually had, like, in my last job, Disney does like this whole corporate training thing, and they specify that. And like, when the Disney person, I'm sure like they never worked at a Disney park, but they come around and they do these trainings for like Chase Bank and all these people, like professionalism and, you know, execution and stuff like that. The whole thing is about how they focus on never breaking character and how they specialize in, like, they have all these mechanisms in place. So if, like, it's Chewbacca's here in the park, there's no other Chewbacca in the park, so you'll never see Chewbacca in two places at once. That whole thing. But it amazes me, like, everybody who goes to Disney is, like, so blown away by, like, their, like, commitment to staying in character and stuff like that. I was like, yo, that's your job. I don't know. Maybe if I go there again, I will be amazed by it as well. But, like, you sound just like the lady I used to work with. And that was, like, her big thing is, like, hey, these people are locked in. They're committed. Like, they don't break character. And I'm like, that's their job, is to not break character.
Yeah, I guess because I'm just not around those people. But, like, you know, I mean, but, like, we saw, like, Goofy and Minnie, and they're, you know, they're in their puppet costumes. You know, they're waving and smiling and, you know, having a good time taking pictures with the kids and all that stuff. But the Star Wars people are like, no, like, we're hunting Chewbacca. Like, this ain't no game. And I was just like, and they're doing that from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Like, you can tell when they go take a break, you know, that stuff, because there's, like, little hideaways, you know, like, places that they go in. Yeah, my mom almost got kicked out of the park a couple times for smoking in the park. That's the other thing. They ain't got no smoking places. Well, no. At Universal Hollywood Studios. What's it called?
But that's not Disney. But yeah. Yes, Universal Studios.
Yeah, you could tell they were older. They had smoking places. But Disney? Disney? Nah, you can't smoke in Disney, yo. My mom got caught twice trying to steal smokes out of there. I'm like, Mom, when you move into these little sections that, you know, where there's no one out, you should look around and see if a door says security. Because that's probably where the security is. Yeah, that's probably where the workers are.
Or employees only.
Like, why don't you be like any normal person and go in the bathroom and smoke? I mean, I actually shouldn't have smoking anyway. Hey, I'm actually, can you on? Because computer's acting funny tonight. All right, I can't hear you. Look, I'm going to click you off. Call back in if you can hear me. I'm extra. But, yeah, so not too much on Disney, you know, but, you know, I will say if you got kids, even if they're teenagers, like, I was worried that, you know, our son would be a little bit too young. I thought this was a good age. He did cry on the ride, but he got through it, had a good time. But since Blur, you got teenagers. And look, New York, you ain't got no kids yet. Like, it's enough partying going down. Like, you can have a hell of a time in Disney, but you got to save up. Oh, I've never seen so many white people in kente cloth in my life. Look, we got to stop. Look, at first when all those white senators took that picture kneeling down, rest in peace, Martin Luther King. Happy Martin Luther King Day. When last year and all them white people took that picture, that kente cloth, and all these black people were upset, I was riding with y'all because I'm black, and I didn't really see the big deal on it because I felt like somebody black came up with that idea, and the white people were just like, okay, if this is what we got to do, I think white people really came up with that idea. So I don't know how y'all got mad at white people, but cool, I'm black, I got to ride with y'all. yo, we got to pop.
I don't think we were mad at the white people just for doing it because, yeah, it was like the Black National Caucus or something like that who came up with the idea. I think we were mad at the whole thing. Like, you know, stop pitching this. What is this? This ain't doing nothing for us. And y'all stop going along with the BS. Nancy Pelosi, you look stupid. Get your old ass up there. You probably need help getting up off of that knee, man. Stop it. So, yeah, it was more that. Not just them doing it, but the whole thing as a collective.
But, see, I can't blame Nancy, yo, because you know some black people say, hey, you need to put this on for us and take a knee in solidarity. And what's Nancy going to say?
Are you sure about
shit,
this?
I'm like,
Nancy, let me check this. Let me run on Twitter. Let me run a Twitter poll. Let me see how it do.
Well, you can't do it now because it's fast. But anyway, just I don't understand. I'm not sure. Can you hear it yet? It's still like, what? It's still. I'm gonna give it a second because it's still like I don't know what's going on. The whole radio station is going crazy. But we gotta apologize to white people, yo. We went to where were we at? Africa?
No,
in Disney World.
We went to Animal Kingdom. Lodge.
Animal Kingdom. So everybody African. So they had a black man. Needling wood outside, yo. And,
needling?
What do you call it? Whittling?
Whittling.
Whittling wood outside. And if y'all ever seen that Seinfeld episode where he got the security guard a chair, that's what I was doing. Because I felt so disrespected. They had this black African man whittling some fucking giraffes and cheetahs. And he was like, and I was like, yo, if y'all can get this man a footstool and some water. He had a chair. I give him that. I had a chair. But he ain't had nothing to drink. And I'm like, yo, you just going to be banging at this piece of wood for the next 6 hours while these white people walk around in kente cloth? And look, got to apologize to white people, yo. We can't get mad at them for wearing kente cloth no more. Because if you go to Animal Kingdom and eat, the whole service people are all in kente cloth.
Their staff uniform.
And at first I was like, hold on, why are all these white people wearing kente cloth? Then I realized they had to serve me. So I was like, yeah, go get my ribs. So on behalf of black people, I'm sorry, white people. Y'all good. Y'all good rocking the kente cloth. Y'all were great to me.
Oh,
great ribs and great soup. All right, that's all I got on Disney, yo. But y'all got a y'all got to make a trip down there. And, Maxer, I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but for some reason it's not letting you connect. So I'm gonna try to hang up on you again and try to call back in. But, yeah, man, so that was really it on Disney. What did y'all do for Christmas? Blur, what you get into? Anything good?
Oh, shit, for Christmas? Probably not. I don't know. I mean, shit, damn, that seems so far long ago, man. I don't even remember. I don't think I did much, though. I mean, got the boy a few things, hung out with my son, kicked it for a little bit, if I can remember correctly. Ain't do much, though.
New Year.
I'm always happy when my son come home from school, so that's always a good time.
Oh, yeah, your son's in college, yo. He using condoms?
You know what? I don't know. I'd ask. I did not ask. I would assume so. I mean, I think I raised him right. I mean, he's 18. He got a 20-year-old girlfriend who got her own apartment off campus. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's shacking up. But I don't know. I'm assuming that he's strapping up, too.
If she's 20, he ain't using no condoms.
Wait, why not? What they got to do with it?
Were you using condoms at 20?
Yeah.
College days, yeah. In college, yeah, for the most part, yeah, I think so. I mean, my son was born around 21, so, I mean.
That's why I knew you wasn't wearing condoms. You had a kid at that age.
Maybe,
yeah.
I mean, that was, at that point, you hadn't felt different.
It was a trick question. New York, was you wearing condoms when you were 20? Oh, most definitely.
On and off.
On and off.
I say that, on and off.
DJ C. Cyrus here. I always wore condoms.
Yeah.
She's looking at me crazy. But yeah, that was good though, man. New York, what about you, Christmas, New Year's? You doing anything?
No, actually, I spent Christmas by myself for the most part of the day. And then I went over some friend's house because they was having a little party or whatever. Shout out to my extended Trini family. I got lit with them. That was really my whole day.
I talked to New York over the break, and the thing that he said to me that had me in tears, he's like, yo, hold on, there's mad Puerto Ricans on the Wi-Fi. And I think I fell out laughing for about 2 hours. Because I just assumed, like, in my head, I just pictured a bunch of Puerto Ricans messing with an antenna on top of a roof. It's all I imagined. Yo,
and
that's
what they was doing. That's what they was doing. That's why I couldn't get no games in. I was like, yo, why am I Call of Duty lagging right now? Like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Y'all supposed to be batopping and everything like that. Like, why are y'all doing this? Y'all messing up the game time.
Yeah, that joke was funny, yo. That joke was funny.
But yeah, I had an uncle. He passed away maybe a couple of years ago. Like, not too long. Maybe like a year or 2 years ago. And last time I seen him, he was like, I was like, yo, Uncle Jimmy, what's up, man? We on the street chopping up. He's like, yeah, man, I got guys like Puerto Ricans is everywhere, man. They coming through the walls, man. I'll be hearing them. The guaguas, they be coming for me. I was like, all right, Uncle Jimmy, man, I'm going to check you out, man. You crazy for that one. He said, yeah, man, the Puerto Ricans, man, they be coming through the walls.
Yeah. And the funny thing is where I live at now, Southeast Virginia, I'm a Spanish person. So anytime, like, I meet somebody where, you know, I feel like I'm back home and I hear that, like, little Spanish accent, I'm like, yo, there's Spanish people around here, because it ain't many. Like, there's a couple Spanish restaurants, Mexican restaurants, but it ain't a lot of them. So I miss my Spanish folks, man. Shout out to my rice and beans people. I guess that's a good enough time to catch up. Anything y'all got since we've been going for a while? Blur, you got anything?
I was thinking about this earlier. I'm like, yo, last time we did a pod, we were going talking about Dion leaving to go to the white school, trashing HBCUs. Not really trashing HBCUs, not Dion, but you know. I'm like, and now, full circle, we're back dealing with Ed Reed and him trashing HBCUs. I'm like, you know what? This just ain't a good look at all.
Yeah, y'all are real sensitive about y'all HBCUs. Go ahead, DJ Cesar, what you got?
I didn't like the way he was talking. He's saying everything, and all schools like this, all schools like that. Nigga, no, it ain't.
Bro, you gotta be a nigga. Don't call me.
Cause you acting niggerish. You acting niggerish.
Real coonish. Real coonish.
I don't even have to be here. Well, don't go.
That see, you know what, Dunn? You said it before that we'd be protective of our HBCUs. I'm like, I don't really think it was protective of HBCUs. I thought it was like, you know, just right is right, wrong is wrong, professionalism. I might have to agree with you, man, because everything DJ C. Sire is like she's speaking, like she's reading my mind, because that was exactly the same thing I was saying. I was like, all right, you ain't got to be here. Leave. Go. Ain't nobody forcing you. Pack your shit up and go. Go back up the street to Miami. Go ahead and deal with them. They didn't want you there. Before it was like 1976, they didn't want you there. Go ahead. That's where you want to be. Go up the street to them.
Look, it's one of those things where, like, I've always had this argument with y'all about how y'all talk about the HBCU experience and how it's different from colleges, and I push back on y'all all the time. When we get into that argument, and I always think it's an interesting argument. DJ C. Siren gets frustrated because when she doesn't feel like she's winning the argument, she just wants to stop. But I always feel like it's a good discussion because I feel like we can one day get to the root of it because I'm trying to understand it. You know, just so as my son starts preparing for college, I got to figure out if it's worth it for him or not, especially if he's going to do sports. Like I've always said, DJ, if he's hiring, don't get mad. If he just wants to go to school to be school, you go to any school you want. But if he wants to go to school for athletics, then we got to make a business decision. So it wasn't until, like, a lot of this Dion stuff and, you know, the Ed Reed stuff that I realized – one of the main differences that I can agree on is how y'all defend y'all universities. You guys look at your universities with such – I mean, it could be fucked up. Howard had rats and flooding. It don't matter. Like, the protection and the love that you have for your university is 1,000% something I do not understand. I love my university. I thought my university was great. I had the greatest time of my life there. But I understand that it's just a college. Like, I knew that the thing that made my college experience so great was the people that I was around, my college football career, my college fraternity. It was the people. It was the people that I was around. It was the experiences we had. It was the times running up and down York Road and 695 and 83 and running up and through Baltimore. That's what made me love the university so much. But I know that the university, the entity, is just a college. I could have had that experience with those same people at any other different college, and I would have had still a great time. But the reverence and love that y'all have, I just don't understand. And I'm actually envious is the wrong word, but I wish I looked at my university with that much love. But then I understand why y'all don't be giving money back.
I give money.
I know you do. But it don't make sense.
I mean, you know what? I can't find. HBCUs are underfunded, and I guess, across the board. I mean, because I guess it is only 105 HBCUs compared to all other PWIs. So, but I guess per school or whatever, HBCUs do traditionally are lower in alumni donations than all other schools. And I think it's more so, but I think it's because HBCUs, the alumni out there are like, yo, I went there, I got what I needed, I'm holding on to everything I got. And I think some of that does come from going to HBCUs. Not me personally, but I could definitely see some of the people I went to school with. Like my first roommate, he's a surgeon. I don't know if he gives back. Maybe he might give back. But from what I know from him, he's not parting with a single dime of his money. Not one silver dime. He has pocketed every single thing he possibly can. And I'm pretty sure he's very happy about Grambling and going there and the experience. He was part of the marching band and everything. I don't think he's giving back. And it's just because, hey, I work hard for this. I ain't sharing it. I ain't parting with a single bit of it.
Is he African? Because my man is a doctor, and I love him. Shout out to my man Black. He probably listening. He probably going to call me and cuss me out. Yo, my man Black, he a doctor. Makes good money. Yo, I think we went out to dinner, and I saw his bill was about $100. My bill was like $150 just because I drank too much. So I tipped like $30. My man Black gave the lady about $5. I said, hey Black, don't you do that, yo. You ain't giving no 5% around me, yo. And I know you got money. Like, I ain't even counting your pocket. I know you got money. Because I know how he treats my son. He buys my son anything he wants any time in the world. And I'm like, yo, don't buy him nothing, yo. So is he African or is he? So I just assume because my man Black African. But my bad to all my
typical. But he's from Georgia, not Atlanta, but a rural part of Georgia. And that's another thing, I think, because most people, especially like coming up now, you still have a lot of first-generation college students. A lot of people are coming from poor backgrounds, and so like, yo, nah, I ain't go through 4 years of school or 6, 7, 8 years of school to be part with any bit of my money. Nah, he's just from a real rural part of Georgia, and so yeah, I totally understand him, like not giving up none of his money. He ain't going back to the trailers and stuff like that.
DJ Cesar,
I'm just curious to maybe talk to our white counterpart, because I'm curious as to what their mindset is in terms of giving. If they're doing so much more, or at least
are they Jews? Jews give back all the time. Look, I've been watching Madoff, yeah. Give it up, yeah.
If we're assuming that they're giving back so much more than Black graduates, what's their thought towards their school, and how is the school set up to give back? Or, I mean, you don't give to your school.
Yes, I do. I get to the football program. My money's earmarked.
I mean,
but
how often?
Every 6 months.
Do you?
Yeah. I give them $100.
Well, why can't I give them my school that?
Do I ever tell you what you can and can't do with your money?
Yes.
No, because you get a little dicker. You want to buy fucking $400 Mickey Mouse ears. I'm not
doing
that.
They were not $400. That's for the,
I'm not doing
that's
that.
That's for the silver.
You want to buy, you want to put money to your school, go ahead. But you got beef with them. That's a whole nother.
I got beef with my school.
But the, I want to have a discussion on it. Anyway.
I'm just saying. So.
But my school calls me every single week. I tell my school, they're like the Indians from what's that telework podcast that I was listening to? I was listening to a podcast on telemarketing, yo. Them Indians was getting busy. Yo, and I'm not even being racist because they was in India. Getting busy on the phone. You know, my school calls me like every 2 weeks for money.
See, they don't do it. I mean, they send tweets. I mean, I just got a card from the school asking.
Send them $100.
But anyway. I'm just curious as to what the mindset is. If they're saying our mindset is so horrible in terms of giving back.
I do want to know what that ratio is, because it's a lot more white people, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, and, you know, depending on school, I mean, if 100,000 people went to the school versus 5,000, that's going to be a difference in alumni getting.
But see, I guess that's my thing, though. Because y'all have such reverence for your schools, I would think that you would automatically donate more. Like, I would think the percentage of...
What I can afford, baby. We can't afford. I can't afford it.
Baby, stop telling me you can't afford it. You can't afford it. You buy bullshit all the time. Look, I'm just talking about something as simple as 10 bucks a month.
Look, I gave to WHRO.
Look, you stay giving them white people.
I stay giving the white people my money.
See, that's why you like skin.
But I believe in public radio.
So, I mean, I just to move the conversation forward, you're right. I don't think the proportion, because I don't know a bunch of my white friends that give back to Gaza. I know a lot of my football guys that do. But I'm just saying, because of the reverence that you have for your schools, I would expect that because y'all have so much love for your institutions, I have love for my institution, but I have love for my football team and for my boys there. Y'all have love for your institutions. I would just assume that the percentage of people that give back would be higher.
I don't think those two things are mutual, like they are, you know, mutually. Like, I think those are two mutually exclusive things. Like, just because you love school, love your experience, appreciate where it is. Like I said, we have a legacy to protect, I feel like. And I feel like that's...
So why don't y'all donate? And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I haven't done the
research. Mutually exclusive sometimes. I don't know. But it's just
because I agree. We should protect HBCUs. Look. You should call Hampton and at least set up a thing to donate $50 a month. You should. It should just automatically come out your check. But for another topic. But I do believe we should give more to HBCUs. I do believe HBCUs need to be protected. I do believe they.
I think it's something like. And I mean, apparently Trump did whatever Trump did, but you know they always say they're gonna give more money and they never do, but. It's something like 12%. Like, I think the average is 12% of HBCUs alumni give back. So I don't know what the average is for other PWIs, but, I mean, it seems low, but I want to need something to compare it to. Like, only 12% of the people with the school there and I guess that's like regularly giving back, regularly making regular donations back to the school. That does seem kind of low.
Yeah, so, but I mean, if we find out that, you know, other institutions are at that same rate, then we got to stop saying that HBCUs are underfunded. They're funded like everybody else. They just don't get as much state funding. Maybe the underfunding shouldn't come from the people. It should come from the state. But then again, I don't think as black people we should depend on the state. I think that we should really say, no matter what school you went to, just because of the importance of HBCUs, that's why I understand why y'all attack black people who didn't go to HBCUs. Y'all because
they act like they read.
Y'all like the outside people that fix y'all fence. He said because we act like Ed Reed. Fix y'all fences.
Yeah, well, you said we're the outside people.
Like, because y'all HBCUs attack black people who didn't go to HBCUs.
I don't attack them.
In general, y'all do on the internet. But I know it's not all y'all, because all y'all friends with me, none of y'all attack me. Yeah, but, you know, but I'm making, like, the grandiose point. Like, when y'all be like, come home. Y'all don't have the facilities for all of us to come home. Like, we have to go to schools. There's just not enough black schools around for all black people to go to HBCUs. But I think that all black people should donate to HBCUs. Even if it's something simple as $5 a month, I would just want to know how big of a difference that will make. Because once you start making so much money in a school, even with donations, like, things start happening. Because most HBCUs are state schools, right? They're protected by state?
I'm not. Ours is not clear.
I know Hampton's private.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we got a couple private HBCUs, but I think most of them are state schools. I mean, again, there's only 105 of them, so yeah, we may not have the facilities to accommodate every black person in the country, but, you know, that's just a chicken or an egg situation.
Hey,
maybe it's not if you build it, they will come. Maybe, like, if they come, we will build it.
Look, I tell you what, y'all better leave me alone, because I went to a school that had more diversity than y'all. If I start giving y'all money, yo, I don't want to hear nothing about where I went to school. Support y'all.
Hey, I'm going to be for real. Black people with the HBCUs, we do not care about other people's experiences at their PWIs. It's only when people start coming for HBCUs. That's the only time.
That's
the only time.
That's not true. Y'all sensitive.
I agree, boy.
I know y'all do, because y'all sensitive. But, okay, so let's get back. Let's just move the conversation forward. Let's go to Ed Reed. So, Ed Reed is now a coach for Bethune-Cookman, but he's not officially started yet. He was on TikTok saying, complaining about how they didn't clean out his office, how he was driving through a fence that was down, and how he was disappointed at what was going on. And he did say this is at all HBCUs, and I think he was 100% wrong for saying that, because you don't know what's going on at that school. I bet you Jackson State ain't got that. Deion was just there. I don't think a fence just fell down.
I mean,
I can tell you for a fact, Grambling ain't got that. I mean, we may have a few issues, but we ain't got that. And then even if we did, I mean, what's a down fence? But, you know what I mean, as far as trash and stuff, like.
Y'all ain't got no down fence, but y'all had no AC in that gym when I was there. That was rough. We had a good time. But for a fat guy in Louisiana, that gymnasium.
AC might not have been on. This might not have been on, but I don't know.
No, it was rough. But you wasn't there. I ain't gonna tell me.
I'm just saying.
Blur, remember, it was hot
with a lot of people.
Nah, yeah, that drink was like a sweat box. I don't know if that was just something that the South people.
Look, there was sweat boxes. There's enough black people in there. No matter. Still a sweat box.
That was rough. We had a good time in Louisiana. Drive through liquor stores. Greatest thing ever. But I will say that the bigger picture is y'all have to expect this from Edgar. He's not from y'all. He's accustomed to a certain lifestyle with Chris Rock and them too. I expected Ed Reed not to go to the internet, because Ed Reed is our age. He's old. But if your job is to recruit and relate to kids, you're going to hop on the internet with everything. Like, Ed Reed ain't even mad. Like, if you ever been on, because the first thing I went to was Ed Reed's Instagram page to see what else he was posting. Not necessarily about HBCUs, but I was like, hey, I've read, like, books on Ed Reed. And this seems in character for him to what he was saying, but it seemed out of character for him to post on the internet. And what I realized is that, Ed Reed's one of them dudes who wears fedoras. He ain't married. Smokes a lot of cigars. Like, he got the flashing light room where he'd be listening, like, music in. I'm like, oh, Ed Reed's still out in these streets. So he's going to post on the internet, because that's what these streets do nowadays. Though I was disappointed he posted that on the internet, I think it's just the times that we live in. If you out in the streets, you're on the internet. So what'd you think, Blair? I know y'all were disappointed as black school people, but, you know, did you think it was that bad?
Yeah, it was that bad. I mean, Ed Reed's going to be Ed Reed, whatever that
whatever he is. I thought it was even more so than it being just, you know, a black man tearing down HBCU. Like, again, he's not from that. So don't talk about it. Like, damn, was it Easy or Ice Cube? I think it was Ice Cube. If you ain't ever been to the ghetto, you'll never come to the ghetto because you won't understand the ghetto type situation. Oh. Only pays ghetto with HBCUs. Like, if you ain't from here, don't come from here. And if you want to come out here, don't talk ish about it. Like, this ain't for you then.
Hold on. Time out, Blair. Time out. How are you going to disrespect your hometown like that? That is New Jersey's own Tretch who said that.
That's right. That's who it is. I was trying to play. That's why I'm like, no, it's not Cube. I couldn't remember exactly who was like, it's not Cube who said that. But I was thinking straight out of Compton for some reason.
They don't care about what's going on in the hood.
That's where I was mixed up at. Y'all knew exactly where I mixed up at, and y'all was right there. Y'all knew what I was talking about. But so it's like, all right, so yeah, you're right. That's my bad. Shout out to Tretch. But yeah, it's like, all right, so don't do that part. First of all, there's that, and then the second part is like, yo, just professionalism. So not only are you disrespecting HBCUs, now you're making us overall as a people look bad because this is how you acted as a grown man who's about to be a leader of men. This is how you act. It's like, come on, man. Come on. I know he's younger than Dion, but grow up. Just grow up. There was no need to be jumping on the internet. Like, put it in any profession, anywhere. Like, it's never a good look to jump on the internet and start bad-mouthing your employer. So don't, whatever it is, it's just never a good look. I can't imagine anybody who jumps on the internet and bad-mouths their employer, someone they're choosing to work with or for, depending on how you look at it. You're choosing to be there, and now you talk to us. I don't see anybody doing that, and it's not, and you don't look stupid. You look goofy. Then you add on the fact that, yo, you bad-mouthing HBCUs for no reason. Talking about you don't need to be here, then don't be here. Like, it just was all around a bad look.
I think it is a little bit of a culture shock for some of us who, especially when it comes to sports. Like, some of us have lived, it'd be like taking somebody, like what Trish said, it'd be like taking somebody from the suburbs and throwing them in the hood. I'm not saying that HBCU is the hood, but it's a different culture. Or somebody from the hood, is just like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, take somebody from the hood and put them in Hollywood. Let me do it the other way to make it a little bit more easy. It's going to be a culture shock. And when you're talking about these dudes with every – look, I've been to Miami with every – when I went to go visit Howard. Them dudes got everything. Been to West Virginia with my man Avon, and white dude walked in and was like, yo, who y'all banking with? Y'all change it to my bank so I can take care of y'all. These dudes are accustomed to getting everything. I went to a good school. We didn't get like that, but at least I got by on some free tests. So when they go to these schools, I think it's a bit of a culture shock for them where it's like, oh, no, you're not going to get everything.
Yeah, and you're not 20 years old, so you're not 20
years old. The internet thing is no excuse.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
But old people run to the internet now. Look at my mom. I love her to death. Love you, Mom. Thank you for giving my mom runs to the internet with every little thing on her mind. I think when you're just bored and you're single, you run to the internet.
Let me ask you this, Gunn. Would you do it? This is what always comes down whenever I talk to people. Like, would you do it? Could you ever see yourself doing what Ed Reed just did?
No, but I'm cool. Like, we got to accept the fact that Ed Reed might not be cool, yo. And you forget, like, some of our greatest heroes ain't cool. Once I heard LL Cool J laugh, I said, oh, he ain't cool.
Stop.
Look, he got a bad laugh. But I don't know. I don't hold myself. I don't hold how I hold myself to other people because I know I don't look for other people for validation. Like what Ed Reed did on the internet, I think he's looking for validation. Y'all don't understand what I'm giving up to be here to be with y'all. Whereas I agree and with you, like, if you make that decision,
then why?
You don't have to announce it. Make the decision and push forward and get it right. Like, if the fence is messed up, like, did it mess up that day? Like, what's the context of you driving through a fence this time?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, God forbid, I mean, you're in Daytona Beach. Did that happen with that hurricane that just came through? Like, they might have to wait to get funding for that.
Right.
And you make it seem like
they got the nerve to get on there, got the nerve to get online and say, hey, I did more in my week and a half than the other people who've been here for years. Ooh, man. Don't want to call that brother out his name. Don't want to call that brother out his name, but that was some clown-ish to do. And to say
he's
totally uninformed. Who knows? He doesn't know. He's been there for a week and a half. How did he know what people have been doing there for the past couple of years? He has absolutely nothing to back that up.
Well, it just depends, and I'm not defending him. But if he came in there in his first week and like, hey, I'm gonna give you $1.5 million, and nobody's ever donated that much before, then he's right.
They
got money from McKenzie.
Who's McKenzie? McKenzie's Bezos? Oh yeah, she done more than that.
Yeah.
It's the only woman I leave DJC time for. McKenzie.
She just divorced her.
I know. McKenzie, bring your sexy ass over here. Look, DJ C. Sign, you'll be taken care of. But I got to leave you, baby. I'm changing our lives.
I might have to.
Well,
bring
Melinda
your
Gates
wife.
Is divorced, too, homie. Melinda Gates got divorced, too, so she got a half of Bill Gates' money.
Who?
Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' ex-wife.
Both of them divorced? I might have to see if
man.
I can get me a reverse ice cream sandwich. I'm trying to change your lives, yo. I know God.
But even then, even if every came in his first week donated $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, so that just means he donated more money than the people have for who have been there for years. Their work could have brought in more money than that. Maybe he has nothing to base that on. And even if that is, that's one thing. Oh, you donated more money. That's not doing more. That's donating more money.
Well, all I'm saying is that in his mind, if he did, then he would be right in his mind. There's millions of ways. I mean, there's 1,000 different ways, 100 different ways to validate what he's trying to say. But we both agree. I don't understand the point in announcing that. Like, if you say in 1 week I've done more than anyone else has ever been there, like, have you reached your goal yet? I guess that's my problem with it. Like, come on, yo, we've all played sports. Like, if you're there to change the program around, then you should be making changes. But I don't, like, it doesn't seem like it's a recruiting tool. But again, I've read stuff on Ed Reed, so I don't know, nor do I pretend to know. But this goes aligned with his personality. Like, I think Deion was, I think people are expecting Ed Reed to be Deion, but we've seen Deion over the years. Deion's a master planner for the camera. Deion puts on a show anytime those lights come on. He's charming. He's funny. He's quick with it. He got the black people church quote that I hate. That all seems like, and he even said it. He's like, he wrote down, like, he used to write down quotes so he would know when to say them. And he would just memorize them. And that's how he talks now. It reminds me of black preachers, and I hate it. Ed Reed ain't like
that. But you know what? I don't know if Ed Reed needs to be like that, or if people are expecting Ed Reed to be like that. I mean, people could expect Ed Reed to be like Eddie George. He's been there 2 years, I think, coming up. No, 2 years, I think, now. He just had another press conference talking about the program, what he needs, what he's looking for. He ain't bad-mouthed Tennessee State. Now, again, Tennessee State got money from Oprah, so, you know, they are probably in a much better state than Bethune-Cookman is. That said, whatever he's looking for, whatever he's doing, he didn't bad-mouth him. He didn't go to social media talking shit. And he's not flamboyant or anything like that. You barely heard Eddie George talk when he was in the league.
Eddie ain't in the streets. Ed in the streets, yo. And these kids run to the internet, man. I think that's just all I got out of it. I think it's a culture shock for him that he's still in the streets and running to the internet. And I think he'll learn because this is his first job too. He's got to be afforded chances to make mistakes. And I think this was a mistake. I think he was wrong. And I think we should all give him a pass for it.
And that's the one thing, because my first thought was like, yo, nobody should just like, yo, get him up out of there. But then I thought that's kind of what HBCUs are built on. Like, yo, they're not fucking with us. We got us. We got you. Get kicked out of your PWI. Come on. You can always come home to us. We got you. We're not going to desert you. So I feel like we have to do that with people who even try to embarrass and shit on us. Like, all right, we're going to give you a second chance, third chance. Now, we're going to get this right. We're going to work with you to make you a better person, because that's kind of what HBCUs do for black people.
Yeah, God bless you. All right, so speaking of black people, Alec Baldwin going to jail.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think you can sue anybody. I think that armorer might go to jail. Somebody was responsible for putting the live bullet in a gun. And if the contract says, hey, this armorer was the one responsible for the gun, and there's no proof that Alec Baldwin ever loaded or unloaded the gun, he just picked it up from the actor table, then the armorer might go to jail. But I don't think Alec Baldwin's going to jail. What you think, Blair?
Yeah, I don't think Alec Baldwin is going to go to jail either. I think there is some discrepancy. I was actually listening to my same movie and TV podcast. There's a chick on there who is an actress, and she's like not a big actress, but she's getting regular work. And she said it's not required for the actors or actresses to like double check guns, but she does whatever she's given a role where she has to handle something. I think she said she was on like the Nancy Drew TV series or something. She had to work with a taser, and she said she wouldn't even touch the taser, so she had the armor come over there, walk her through it, and then she would check it and everything. And like, all right, prove to me that this is not capable of firing off any tasers right here in front of me, and then we'll do the scene. But she said other actors and actresses don't do that. They trust the people who are responsible for that. And like, that's one thing. Some people were saying like, yo, as an actor, because like Will Smith is another one, like he always goes through the whole checking the gun and everything before he does anything with it. But people like saying like, yo, that's required or versus that's what's expected. And like, I've heard different reports say, hey, the actors are also supposed to check it. And I heard a lot of reports that no, it's not the actors, it's the armorer's responsibility. And actors are allowed to just trust the armor. Like, but from what I heard is like this particular movie was like had a bunch of problems and obviously was underfunded and they were going through some things like they were supposed to shut down and then didn't. And like the reason that the chick who died, the reason she was doing that job, like setting up the shot, is because the cinematographer or whatever had walked off set because he didn't get paid. Like they were just like, there was a lot of mess ups with that whole production. And so like the day before, the cinematographer walked off set. And so she was just like filling in. Like people were just like doing extra stuff trying to get the movie made because it was COVID or whatever, or right after COVID. And so like they were supposed to shut down. They weren't shutting down. And like the money wasn't coming in. So it was a lot of people doing a lot of things that they weren't responsible for. And so you got an armorer who wasn't supposed to be the armorer. Like there were supposed to be two. They couldn't afford to, so they got one. And then this person had never did it themselves to begin with. So it was just like a lot of negligence going on. The only reason I think it could fall with Alec Baldwin, because I think he was like an executive producer or he had something to do with the production of the movie. So he might be liable in that aspect. But I don't think he could be liable as like the actor who actually like pulled the trigger. Especially since he said he never actually pulled the trigger. He said he cocked back the hammer and let it go, but he never actually pulled the trigger. So I don't know if that's going to play a big role in like, oh, you shot this person. Like he was setting up the shot. Like they were going for a shot where like the gun is pointed directly at the camera. She's behind the camera looking to see if the shot is right. He cocked back the hammer. It goes off. Don't seem like it's his fault at all. But the armorer, they said it was like six live bullets were found on set. It's like there's no reason for any live ammo to ever be on a movie set. So, yeah, he's definitely going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell that they was just out there fucking around in the country shooting guns in between stuff or at night, and somebody fucked up and left real bullets out there. But, I mean, I think Alec Baldwin bullshit with that. I cocked back the hammer and it went off. That's not how bullets work. The firing pin has to hit and ignite the gunpowder. So he definitely pulled the trigger. I mean, I guess you could disengage it without actually pulling the trigger. It could misfire, but you gotta, you're either pulling the trigger or pulling the disengage, depending on what type of gun was it. I think it was a Glock, right?
No, I think it's a revolver. If he cocked back the handle, and this was like a Western, what?
Yeah, it was a Western.
Yeah. If it was a revolver, then yeah. And I'm, if it was like an old gun, then maybe the, maybe when he cocked back the hammer, it went forward. But you know, something's got to hit that gunpowder to ignite it. You know, so
yeah, that's what he's saying. Like he cocked back the hammer and it went off and went forward and shot. But he said he never actually physically pulled the trigger.
He bullshit. What else happened while he was gone? Brittany Griner home. Brittany Griner got fade. She looked bad, yo.
She looked like...
She like Jalen Rose.
She looked better than Jalen Rose, actually, I think. She looked like Logic.
Yeah.
She looked good, actually. Yeah. I think she looked better. She looked great. She looked like a nice, handsome young man.
Yeah, glad she's home. Shout out to Brittany. Don't go back to... I wonder how... Look, we going to laugh, but I bet you she go back to Russia and play.
Mm. No, she said she's
know.
Not. She said she's never going back to play there. Like, she didn't say she was going to stop playing overseas, but she said she's never going back to Russia, which I think might be a problem because what if she, like, go play Germany or something and then Germany has to play Russia? What is she doing? She just sit out that game? But she said, money talks, but she said she's never going back.
Yeah, that's what I said. Money talks. We'll see. New York, you got anything? I know sometimes you'd be just listening, chiming in. You want anything you got?
Oh, no. As far as topics, nah. I don't. I'm just here listening. I jump in, though.
Huh? All right. Well, you know, you're free to jump in. What else we got? We got DeMar Hamlin and Drew. We never got to that. Buffalo power player got hit in his chest, died on the field. Brought him back to life, and now he's home. It's a nice Gucci bag. How'd y'all feel about that? What'd you think, bro, when it happened?
To be blunt, I didn't see it when it initially happened. I think I was watching something else or whatever. Oh, we might have actually been on the pod. Were we on the pod that night? No, I guess we weren't on the pod. When I first cut it on, like, I was like, yo, what's going on? I'm thinking it's a normal injury. And then when I saw the replay, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what that is. Again, my first thought was like, yo, something head-related, like maybe he got a concussion before because we've been seeing a lot of that, people getting up and then falling back down because they concussed. And after, like, they didn't show, at least the part I didn't see them giving them CPR, but it might have been Troy Aikman or whatever talked about the CPR, like, oh, damn, that's not a concussion. That's something else. So I was worried at first. I'm like, yo, don't want to see, because it's like, it's always one of those things back in your mind, like, yo, is somebody going to die on the field? Like, at least I've always had that thought, like, morbidly, like, yo, what happens if someone dies on the field? And I know there's been cases where people have left the field and you don't know if they're going to live or die or whatever. To actually die on the field would have been crazy. And it's like you kind of like you're looking at it like, yo, is that what I'm watching right now? Is that what's happening? Is this it? Like, is this the moon landing? Like the thing, at least for me, I'm like, yo, this is the thing I've always had in the back of my mind. Like, it might be a possibility. Am I going to be alive to see this actually happen? Not like excited, but like, wow, like this is actually happening. Someone's about to die on the football field. Didn't die, but that was my initial thought. Like, yo, this is like somebody's gonna really die in front of us, and like on national TV, and like we're not cutting away. Like they gonna keep coming back to this, huh? They gonna keep keep filling. Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, keep talking, like keep figuring this out. I was like, damn, like they really gonna stick to this.
What did you think, DJ Susana?
I was just hoping he was
going
to get up. Or, I don't know. I was just like, man, I just, the longer it took, I was just like, I just hope he's going to be able to, you know, make it to a hospital and make it out. So, that's all. Just was really confused about what was going on. And, you know, they can't say anything, so it's just kind of like, you know, you're just waiting to hear what's going on. Like, you're doing CPR, but what's the real reason? Is it because, you know, because you don't have a heart?
Right.
Or is it because, or is it just rescue breath? Like, you know, you're just trying to figure out what's going on. And just like,
look, I was totally wrong. DJ, she's sorry to tell you. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one on TV. But I've played enough sports. I watch enough sports. They usually, like, when they show the replay of an injury, DJ, she's sorry, can vouch for this. I usually know exactly what the injury is, how long they're going to be out, what's the rehab like. Like, DJ, she's sorry, last year, I'm like, oh, no, that's a torn meniscus. That's a torn ACL. That's a torn hamstring. Oh, he popped his quad. And like, they'll come back from the break and they're like, oh, reports look like he did this and this. And she'll look at me and just laugh. Like, there's something weird about you with that. When this initially happened, I was like, oh, he broke his sternum. He all right. Like, I mean, he ain't all right. But, you know, like, when they replayed the injury, I was like, oh, man, he must have broke his sternum on that. And then, like, when it took a while, I was like, man, that just seems weird. But I was like, nah, I'm like, this ain't that deep. Like, you know what I mean? Like, breaking. If you've ever seen somebody break a stem, like, it's a horrific, like, injury for someone to happen. But, I mean, it's just a bone. It's not that huge of a deal, but, like, you know, people can't breathe and, you know, and all that stuff. But once they said the word CPR, I said, whoa. You can't do CPR on somebody with a broken sternum. I was like, so I'm wrong. Then I started thinking, like, well, what could it be? And I was just like, all right, well, I was wrong. I'll just wait, and then you start hearing about, you know, my man heart stopping out there, and it's just like, yo. I was like, all right, my son's done playing football, but then you start talking to people. I mean, I've been blessed that I went to college with a bunch of guys that are doctors. So I started, and one of them is actually a heart doctor. So I called him, and he's like, man, you'd be amazed at how crazy it is, and like it doesn't really happen in football because of the padding. Like in baseball and soccer and all this stuff, like it does, yeah, in hockey, like it does happen where if something hits you at the right time in the right spot, like you just stop your heart. So I was like, oh, okay, well then he'll keep playing football and can't play baseball.
Can I be frank?
What?
I know that's the going theory, but I can't say this, and I mean, Lord, forgive me, I mean, for having these dark thoughts. Did anybody else think, yo, he must have took something or been on something? Because that crossed my mind. I know they were saying, like, yo, he got hit at the right time with the electrical going through his heart. I'm like, yeah, I've heard about that happening in baseball. I actually never heard about it happening in soccer, but I have heard about it happening in baseball when someone get hit by a pitch. I'm like, that's like such a precise thing that has to happen versus a big shoulder pad. Like, and again, I don't even think, again, I've never been hit by an NFL running back, but I don't imagine like that was, it wasn't with a helmet, so it wasn't like a precise blow. It was a shoulder, a big shoulder going into a chest that's already covered and protected. Like, I had a hard time believing that. So my thought was like, yo, he might have been on something. And I hate that my mind went there, but that's what my mind thought. Like, yo, he was on something. It just happened to catch up to him right then.
See, the funny thing is when I was talking to my boy that's a heart doctor, he was saying, like, and he said the same thing. It's like, because none of us want to frame it that way, because none of us know. We don't want to accuse nobody of nothing. We don't want to put nothing on that young man. We just hope he gets better. But my boy was like, yo, there's a good chance he was on some type of supplement that was already making his heart race, and then he got hit in the chest and just overdid it. He's like, but he can't say it, can't confirm it, don't even want to put it on him. But he was like, he'd be surprised if they ran his toxins, there wasn't some type of creatine or some type of stimulant in his body.
Cocaine?
It might have been that Booker Sugar.
I felt bad for thinking it, but I'm like, yo, like, that just seemed like that was more probable than anything else. And again, maybe I could be, hopefully I'm completely wrong and hopefully not, but that just, and I don't, even if it's true, I'm glad he's still with us, but that was like one of my first thoughts, like, oh man, he took something, he was on something, snorted something, and I mean, it just, combination of things. Like, I didn't even think the hit, not going to say the hit didn't have nothing to do with it, but thinking that the hit was like the minorest of factors.
Yeah. I mean, but we had a friend that died and he wasn't on nothing. And his heart stopped on him.
Yeah, and it also didn't have nothing to do with him getting hit in the chest.
That's true. Yeah, sometimes that shit happens. I'm glad that man's all right. What else we got? What else we got? What else we got? What else we got? Dana White slapped his wife. Yo, can I be that dude?
Who slapped his wife?
Dana White. He's the vice president or CEO of the UFC fighting. So he was at the bar drunk. His wife slapped him. He slapped her back. And everybody got on him and said that, you know, if this was a football player, basketball player, he'd have been fired from his job or made to apologize. And then people were defending him, saying that, hey, he slapped him first. And I hate to be that guy. Again, that's why I love having my wife on the show. She can vouch. I don't yell at you, do I?
No.
Have I ever raised my voice to even try to hit you or raise my hand to hit you? Not even close, right? Like, not even close. Yo, it's not like he slapped her hard. Like, he's a professional fighter. Like, he didn't Ray Rice him. Like, Ray Rice laid out his wife. And look, God bless him, not bringing it up to be negative. I'm just using it in context. Like, she slapped him, and then he gave her, like, a baby slap back.
He shouldn't have to slap her back, though. You think? Can he just grab it on?
You know my stance.
Grab it, choke.
My stance in this is the same as Will Smith and Chris Rock. I don't believe Will Smith was right. I don't believe Dana White was right. But don't put your hands on somebody and then be surprised if they put their hands on you.
All right.
I would never hit a woman. I grew up with that. It's one of those things that bothers me. I personally would never do it. But I don't understand the outrage of people, him slapping her, when she slapped him first. Like, why are we outraged? That's equality. You should be outraged as her as well. Not instead, as well.
Well, I think to that end, people are outraged. Ironically, I would say ironically, but it's mostly women. I've seen a lot of reports, sports channels, and like just like the morning shows. People are saying that, and the women are saying that you can't hit man. You can't hit a man. You can't hit a man. If you hit a man, then he might hit you back. And I've seen a lot of women taking that exact point. I'm of the same cloth, though, man. I feel like, yo, if you hit me or if you hit somebody, expect to be hit back. So I'm with that. But at the same time, I do agree with, like, yo, you don't hit
even a woman.
Like, you don't. You don't hit women. And I understand. I'm always of the cloth. There's a reason to do everything. So I don't say you never hit women, because there's definitely a situation where you need to hit a woman. I don't think this was it. Yeah, she hit him, but there was enough time for him to not hit her back. If it wasn't like, I've been hit by women and I've hit them back out of pure reflex. And I'm not talking like I smacked the shit out of somebody, but out of pure reflex. Yeah. Somebody catch you off guard and they hit you in the back, like you just turn around swinging and sometimes you hit them. So this was not out of pure reflex. He had a moment. He took a breath and realized that he got hit and decided to hit her back. So for that aspect of it alone, I'm like, all right, man, you had a chance to think about it. A brief thought, but to like, all right, the voice in the back of your mind got to be like, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. Like, I remember back when I was in, like, middle school or high school at the barbershop, the first time I heard a dude say he called a cop a woman. He's like, yo, I'm just going to call the cops. I'm not about to go to jail arguing with a woman or about to fight with a woman. Soon as she starts getting loud, I call the cops. I'm like, damn.
And it was like, it was funny because everybody in the barbershop was cracking up, but I started thinking about that. I was like, okay, I see what he's saying. He said, I walk away and I call the cops. He said, that's right, I call the cops. And, you know, this barbershop in Camden, wasn't like calling the cops. So everybody's clowning him, but I was like, okay, I see what he's saying. I'm going to be the one to call the cops first so they don't come here looking for me. But that's the same situation. You just got to walk away. Or just, in this case, Dana White had enough time to just turn around. If he just turns his back, then he had enough time to not just immediately slap her back because he would have to turn around and face her again. So if a woman hit you, just quickly turn your back. Turn your back. Now, if she continues to hit you, then you could turn around again, but because now you're defending yourself. There's a big difference in defending yourself and hitting somebody back. And I gotta give shout out again to Bomani Jones because I think he pointed. I was thinking it, and he verbalized it like, "Yo, this wasn't self defense because she was no longer attacking him when he hit her back. You could defend yourself from a woman, yeah, but this was just pure retaliation."
I got a question on that, right? Too.
Oh. Go ahead, New York.
If Dana White is a fighter, right? Well, not saying he. If he is a fighter, he is a fighter or a former fighter or whatever he is, he knows how to defend himself and he can restrain the woman without hitting her, right?
Oh, 100%. That's why he just pimp smacked her. That was the bitch don't you touch me smack. It wasn't, oh, I'm trying to And you can tell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that was a retaliation. That wasn't, like, a defense thing. Like, I need to defend myself from you, either restrain you or hit you back. This was like, oh, you hit me, I'm hitting you back. This was just straight retaliation.
Yeah, you just can't hit women. DJ Cesar, you got anything?
Yeah.
Huh?
No.
You can only smack a woman on her ass. All right. Like, that's the only acceptable smack. Blur, I'm still dying that you said it. You know how you get hit in the back, he turn around swinging. I don't think I've ever been hit in my back. I just turn around swinging.
Like, sometimes it's a natural reaction, man.
What you've been through in your life.
You don't like something. You don't immediately throw your hands up when something hits you or whatever. Don't tell me your hands are still down. Like, your hands got to immediately come up to go and defend them. If, like, something hit you. Like, I've been hit by women before. Like, even playfully, someone hit you, like, unknowingly, your natural reaction is, like, just come right back. Now, I don't think I've actually, like, it's not like a history of hitting women, but I definitely know, like, not with my Kirk girl. I know with my son's mom, like, she'll play around and jump and hit you or something. It's like, and you just, like, it's just a natural reaction to just swing back. I don't see how anyone's, like, I don't think you just don't. I think everybody swings back when they get hit. Like you just get hit, you turn around and observe? You just turn around and observe, like, what was that?
I can just imagine somebody slapping your back like, hey, Marv, and then you turn around and punch him in the face because you got hit in the back, and you turn around and started swinging. And somebody was just saying hello.
It's out the blue. Yeah, like if I got my headphones on or something and you just vibing out and someone come up and hit you in the back, you're going to take that step, you're going to turn around your hands up. Like, it's, like you turn around and, like, it depends on how hard it is. Now, if it's a hit in the back versus just like a pat on the back, if it's a hit in the back, I think you're coming around swinging because you don't know what's coming up after that hit. Like, that first, I don't know nobody who just throws just one punch or just hit you just one time. So you got to come back swinging. You got to counterpunch.
I mean, we ain't got to stay on it long. I say don't put your hands on a woman. If you can't, I hate to be sexist and not in this sense, but, like, if you can't, I won't be sexist. So let me figure out a better way to say it. If you can't, you don't even have to solve the issue. But if you're upset at each other and you can't figure out a way to talk and get space with the issue or just realize that it's going downhill, then you probably shouldn't talk to the person. You shouldn't even be with the person. I remember I dated this one chick one time, and she hauled off and socked me twice, and I grabbed her arm. It was the only time I ever thought about hitting a woman because I was so furious. And I realized at that moment, I could never be with her another day in my life, because if we're like this at 22, 23, it's only going to get worse. And thankfully, I was able to trick her into break up with me, and I know folks are again. Yeah,
I will say this, though, with the Dana White thing, I think his punishment, whatever it is, if he is being punishment, I think it is consistent with USC and UFC fighters, because they routinely forgive, overlook, give people a second chance who have had domestic dispute or domestic violence issues. So I think him, like, not being, I don't know, punished in some way, I think it's kind of like par for the course for the UFC. I mean, I don't say it's unfortunate or not, but I just think that's just like how they get down.
Yeah, they don't hold them up to a high standard. But we still got much more topics. So we got to burn through these. This white woman cop got a train ran through her in Tennessee.
No, she didn't have a train ran through her. She was just having sex with all of them.
Yeah, this white cop was having sex with everybody at her station.
Thank you. Not there.
I think she did get a train ran through her. So she got fired. And all the other officers got fired. And my problem with the story is, if she got fired because she was having sex on the clock, I understand. I don't agree, but I understand, because you should be out there protecting and serving. Well, she shouldn't be getting fired for just having sex with a bunch of people at a job. TJ Cesarean disagrees. Why do you think you should be fired for having sex with people at your job if it's not on the clock?
I'm going to pass. Because I'm already...
Why? You be having sex with people on the clock? You've discussed it with me, but we're on the show.
I know, but I'm just...
That's the point of being on the show. We have discussions at home. We bring to the show that we had interesting discussions about. Play along.
Okay. Well, I don't know the reason. It's
she played.
Crazy.
She played
you
along
crazy.
With everybody.
You should have. You should not have no bag. You should not have no gun. You don't have.
Because you like dick.
Because
you like
have
dick.
No.
You sell drugs.
You have no. No sense. Like, you can't make. You don't have good decision making skills. You have frontal lobe.
She was giving brain out all the time.
So no.
I got great jokes tonight.
You don't get to keep your job. Because you decide you want to have sex with every person you say hello to.
She was trying to fuck the sergeant's wife. She was a G. Blur, did you see the story? What'd you think?
I mean, you know, I got mixed feelings. My initial reaction was kind of similar to yours. Like, all right, look, if she ain't just, my first thought was like, hey, and it don't matter. Like, all, they ain't do nothing. They're all consenting adults. No one was taken advantage of. No harm, no foul. Then my thought was like, okay, you got to get in some type of trouble if that's what you're doing on company time. Like, you a cop. You're not getting paid to sit in the office or sit in the patrol car or wherever and getting down. But maybe they were on break. Like, that was my thought. Like, if they're doing it on their breaks or whatever, cool. But then my next thought was like, I've worked for places where that was, like, not allowed. And we talked about this a little bit before with the Ime Udoka thing. Like, sometimes this is not allowed. You're not allowed to get down with people you work with. And you got to go to HR and announce it and everything. Like, yo, I'm interested in this person for that very reason. So I could see how people could get fired for it. I don't think they should have. Again, unless they were doing it during company time while they were supposed to be doing other stuff. But hey, if you took your little lunch break and you went and got you some, then... Albeit, I'm all for it. Do your thing.
New York, did you see the story?
Yeah, I saw the story. I don't think, yeah, like what y'all saying, like, if it's not, like, on company time or when you trying to, like, protect or serve anything, you know what I mean? Like Blair said, they all consider adults. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Unless you on company time and then you get busy and then you ignoring the call, like you got like a little, what's it called, whatever code that they call on the intercom or whatever, the walkie-talkie, whatever they do, they ignoring it just so they can get a little copper fill or something like that. Nah, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're doing it on the clock, it's an issue. But, I mean, cops do a lot of stuff on the clock. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it ain't that big of a deal to me. And I really want to see the statistics of crime in that neighborhood. Can you imagine you got a long, hard work day ahead of you, and then somebody comes in and just sucks you off? It's going, like, your work day just got a whole lot better. Now you're relaxed. You're not tense. You ain't shooting nobody. You're probably letting people
I don't know.
Off
you might not
tickets.
Be able to catch nobody either, man. Someone that robbed the bank and you can't catch up. You know, all your testosterone, all your energy gone. Your legs is all soft and wobbly. You might turn around and shoot somebody because you ain't got the energy to go chase after them.
Nah, see, well, if you ain't got the energy, that's when you use the Alec. That's when you use the Alec Baldwin bullets. But you know, but for the most part, you're having a nice easy. Oh, bad joke. Those, but that's what. But for
Alec
the most
Baldwin
part,
bullets.
Nice, letting people off tickets. Now, if somebody does something crazy, that's what you got the gun for. The gun ain't get hit. You ain't got to run. So, all right. So I didn't think it was that crazy.
I will say, I think it's crazy because my first thought was, like, they said it was an anonymous tipster, so clearly it was her husband. But then he's staying with her. Like, they're staying together. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just doing it for optics until she, like, it all blows over. Then he's going to leave her, but I can't do it. I can't. Nah, that couldn't be me. I don't see how.
He ain't giving up that head, yo. He knows she a head monster.
Ain't none. Well, let me not say ain't none of it that good because I don't know how to have it. I'm thinking, yeah, ain't none of that good. If it's not, like, if it's for everybody, then it's for everybody. You ain't got to be married to her. You can still get it, clearly.
No,
if he divorced her,
nah,
he still, a cop.
Nah, I can't do it. If it's what we married, and it's like five of the people in the picture, where I got you locked down and stuff like that, nah, I can't do it. I'm going to have to give that up. I can find that out somewhere else. Like, nah.
Nah, yo. We all know somebody who married the girl who was the head monster in college. And he probably happy as hell, yo. He probably getting his dick sucked every night. He just got a little crazy. You ain't going to let that go. You know how hard it is to find a girl who wants to suck dick every day?
Yo.
I'm out here. I'm like, I gotta let that go. I ain't gonna hold you. I gotta let that go. If I'm married to a joint and we locked in and she's still doing the same activities outside of me, nah. I seen better days. I seen better days.
Until you find out one, until it's over, you be like, yo, I ain't gonna see those days no more. Ain't gonna be no more better. Like, there's gonna be one. And I've had one, and then she got married not too long ago. It might have been a little hate on my part, but I went to DuPage. I just gave him a nice little thumbs up, like a little like, I know why you did that. I know why you married her. Like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah,
like,
you going to get that every night, yo.
Like kudos to you, brother. You a lucky man, a real lucky man.
Oh, man. Shout out to that police station, yo. What else we got? We only got a couple minutes left. What else did we miss?
Did they ever say if any of the other dudes was married? Do we know? Because that would be a very messed up way to lose your job and your wife over something like that. Over an office slide?
You know what them dudes are saying. Look, babe, you don't suck my dick. She was just sucking my dick. Them wives ain't going nowhere, yo.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Your husband is all on the news. It's not like he was just one of many. No, I don't know, man. That's got to be embarrassing for a woman.
They got their pictures up. They got their pictures
up. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
They got their pictures up, their names, everything.
It's embarrassing. I'm probably sure their wives are pissed. But if they was just like, yo, she was just sucking me off, you know what I mean? If his wife don't give him head, like, she can't be too mad at him. Like, if you ain't sucking his dick, then, you know, how mad can you get?
First of all, they probably still was. And, yeah, even if you're not, you could be mad. But if you are, you definitely mad.
Ain't none of them dudes
exactly.
Get head on the regular that take head from her. If they was getting head regular at home, they wouldn't even consider her because she's terrible looking. No offense, lady. I'm not saying
that ain't
got
nothing to do with it.
I think it does.
They don't care. They don't care if she's terrible looking. If you go to the office, they're like, for a sergeant and they're blowing everybody, you up next. Hey, y'all just go in if you want it. You could have just got something from your wife the night before. You're like, shit, some head at work too? Cool. I'm next up. Or they probably wasn't even that. It's probably like a little thing around the office. They're like, they know if you bring her a box of donuts, she got you at lunchtime. You're like, well, let me try this out.
I don't believe there's a lot of dudes like that. I've been in situations where, like, if you want something, you can go in there again. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, my home's good. And this is, like, college. Like, I'm talking about, like, when I was with my girlfriend. I was like, I'm good. Like, I ain't got no problem. But I do feel like there's dudes that I know, and I got friends situations where they're like, yeah, man, since I got married, she don't want to do the things she used to. And I know that if there was a woman that like, I'll suck a dick, like, man, I ain't had head in months or years. I'll definitely take some head, and they would take it.
I don't think you'd be good at like, I get head from my wife all the time, but that's my wife. I get that all the time. I need something new.
I mean, she might have had that fire. If she running through casts like that, she's well experienced. But she's only 20. She's only, 25? What? Yeah, speak up. Get them out here.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, they do what?
Ability or whatever. It's just access. And she crazy.
No, I don't think dudes really care. I mean, okay, not all. But men have access to women all the time and we don't take pussy. Like, it ain't hard to get pussy. I hate to let women know.
There's a whole community of people called incels, involuntary celibate. So, yeah, it's hard for some people.
Who?
Some people, but not all people.
Again, I'm talking about if you're cool. I can't. I don't know how the other people do. If you're a cool person, it ain't hard to get some pussy. Just like, and I'm not saying this to be sexist, like for a woman, it ain't hard to get some dick.
And you know why it ain't hard? Because men, well, as long as it's easy access, they're going to go ahead and give it out. That's why it's so easy for women.
I think some will. I'm not disagreeing, but I don't think all men will. I'm pretty sure those guys in that situation, if they were married, probably just ain't getting no head at home. And it was just like, fuck it, I'll take some head on today. But we're all speculation. We don't know. What else we got? Haley's Comet coming. We figured out Haley's Comet is coming, when we're 86?
Mm-hmm.
The last time Haley's Comet was around, we was 5. So let's pray that we all make it to see Haley's Comet. Make sure you tell your kids to see Haley's Comet, because all of us got kids who will never be able to see it again. Because they fall into that age.
If Haley's Comet came when y'all was 5, I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, see, you're only going to have one chance to see it. We had 2 if our parents took us out at 5, or in DJ C. Siren's case.
Don't you say it. Don't you say it.
So, New York, this is going to be your only time to see it, because you'll be like 70.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to die before the next 95 years.
So how we know it's Haley's Comet?
Because they can track where the comet goes.
So it never goes far enough for us not to see it? Like, it never leaves, like, a place where we can't see it?
No, it's in an orbit. It's like us going around the sun. It's just going around our sun, too. It's just a little bit further part of the galaxy.
I was thinking maybe this is like Haley's cousin's comet or something, or, a lookalike comet.
he just thought that they, anytime they see something shiny in the sky, they're just going to call Haley's Comet.
I'm just saying, we've been looking at Haley's Comet for, like, at least my whole life. I've been hearing about Haley's Comet. I'm like, yo, like, maybe Haley took a break. Maybe it's Bob's Comet now, and Bob just happened to look like Haley. Maybe, I mean, all comets look alike to certain people.
I mean, Haley's Comet's only come around, what, about 8 times? Because it's every, what, 75 years? What are we, in 2020?
I mean, they've been, I mean, Haley was around a long time ago, but he calculated when it would be back around. Like, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
All right, what else we got? We got anything else? Anything y'all want to discuss?
Why didn't Biden go and hide all, go throw away all those documents? He heard that Trump had documents. Why did he say, "Oh yeah, let me go check all these documents real quick"?
I have a whole different problem. How old is Joe Biden?
80.
Why he got a Corvette? That old man. I have trouble driving at night. Hey, look, why he got cool?
He
gonna die.
He said, "It's in my garage. My garage is locked."
We're gonna give that Corvette away, or maybe your old ass going with a Corvette. Like, you just like, did your son die in a car accident? Did your kid die in a car accident? I'm not making jokes. I'm just saying, like, you should be more responsible. Like, get a minivan, get a Prius,
get a truck or something.
I mean, he ain't driving it.
How you know?
He's 80 years old, man. He ain't driving that thing.
Shit, my grandma. How old was my grandma when she drove? I love my grandma. My grandma, 90 years old. She said, "Come down with me to the store." I said, "Mama, my drive." She said, "Nah, I got it. It's just right down the street. I got a car." I said, "Oh, shit." I said, "Oh, nah. We about to die. Yo, pull over. I said, "Grandma, don't you ever drive again. Mama, don't you ever drive again. I'll come get you and take you wherever you need to go." Yo, Joe might be out there driving, yo.
I don't know. I just felt like somebody should have told him, like, "Yo, let's take this stuff out too, right now, since we looking, they looking."
And you wonder why China's winning the world war. Like, we clearly have a problem with security and documents. Like, I see Mission Impossible. Why are we still putting stuff out on a piece of paper?
Right. They said Obama would get his stuff on
hard drive.
iPad.
Yeah.
And they said, but some of them like to get it printed out. Yeah, all you old people.
See, it's only a few of us that are really cool in real life.
Yeah. And they said those binders, like, all the front part will be, like, all...
But, like, kids' schoolwork, yeah, it's all printed out.
So, like, they will be unclassified. And then the last, like, the appendix will have a classified document. And you just couldn't find it. I'm like, yo, it just sounds like a horrible system.
Yo, we got to stop electing old people, yo.
Bad.
Y'all got anything else on Joe Biden and his classified document scandal?
I heard a theory. Call it a conspiracy theory that the Democrats put this out because they're trying to get rid of Joe before the next election.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're a Russian bot. You heard that from, you know.
Yo, they're trying to get him out the way so they ain't got to deal with him when the next election come around. Like, they didn't even got to worry about him thinking about saying he's going to rerun or, like, having to announce that he's not rerunning. Just go ahead and get him out the way now. So that
right.
Kamala step in and is like, "All right, keep the thing rolling."
Yo, speaking of dying on the field, Joe might be the first one that dies on office.
Oh, why are you saying
that? He at that age, he ain't gonna see Haley.
You mean from, like, natural causes? Because he wouldn't be the first to die.
I'm not, like, please, Social Security people, don't come after me. Secret Society. I'm not wishing, like, somebody shoots him or anything. But, yeah, like, natural causes, like, just from age.
I don't know. You know,
they let Ruth die.
Who?
RBG. She was a president, but they let her die while she was still in office.
Well,
yeah, she could have quit whenever she wanted to, too.
Mm-hmm.
We would have had another one. Don't get me started. Like, yeah, I like the thought. Like, makes me so sick, and I think about it every 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Could have weakened that Bernie there. They should have been listening. We could have weakened that Bernie there for just a couple more months.
I know.
I wonder if they would give Joe Biden like adrenaline. And you think they shooting Joe up?
It's so funny.
Yeah, I think so.
Thought he said Joe Biden. It really
does. Joe Biden. Oh yeah, we didn't talk about Gerard Carmichael and the
Golden
Girls. We gotta talk about that next week. Well, we gotta get out of here.
I do think they're shooting Joe up, though. I think Joe and all these politicians, especially the older ones, Trump too probably, they were getting the right cocktail of Adderall and adrenaline and, you know, whatever else they need. Like, I think they're definitely getting the right type of cocktail of stuff to keep them energized and looking vibrant at the right times.
Yeah, Hitler was on, what was he on? Hitler was on Adderall.
Methamphetamine.
And meth, yeah. Hitler was on meth, yeah. It's the reason why he messed up, you know. All he had to do was...
They had meth back then?
Yeah, methamphetamines, you know. Got addicted to them.
Yeah, it was created to keep pilots from falling asleep.
Yeah. Still one of the craziest stories. You know why? Japan attack on Hawaii's Pearl Harbor was, they were called suicide bombers. Like, do you know why they were suicide bombers? Because back then they didn't have the fuel capacity to get them Hawaii and back. Like, it was just a one-way trip.
I mean, I think that had something to do with it, but I mean, they could always could have been like, all right, we ain't got enough gas, so we ain't going to do this. Like, they still made the decision, like, all right, this is what we doing.
No.
I don't think they was, like, midway in the air and decided that, oh, we can't just shoot and turn around.
No, I mean, the reason why they didn't, like, drop bombs and then go back to refuel and drop bombs, like, they dropped bombs and then crashed their planes and stuff because they didn't even have enough fuel to get back. So the only choice was either to land in America and become a prisoner of war or crash a plane and become a martyr. It's Japan, you know, they all samurais.
Yeah, I was going to say, samurai. We got code of honor for these things.
I feel like if I'm in the Japan's air flight unit, what do they call them, the Air Force? And you say, yeah, you're going to go to Hawaii, but you got to get enough gas to get back. I'm like, so why are we going? Can I land in Canada? Like, am I cool up there?
Halfway, get some fuel, and then go.
Yeah, I ain't got no boat for me to come back and land on.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Where our Navy at? Just get us close enough. You ain't got to take me all the way. Just get me halfway there.
And that's the thing, because they had to fly, because what's that island past Hawaii that was big in World War II? I should know this because I used to be a great study of World War II. There's another set of islands that's past Hawaii. That was big. It was the it's the war at Guam. We had control of Guam, so there was no other place for them to go because the Pacific is that big. If they had Guam, they'd have been all right. So, just a little history lesson. You know? Don't go anywhere where you ain't got enough gas. Hey man, we gotta get out of here, man. It's good to be back. Good to hear y'all voices. Good to crack some jokes. Get some topics in next week. We got a whole bunch more to catch up on. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be on Twitch. DJ Cesar, you got anything to say to people before we roll?
Have a good weekend. See you all next week. I have to do a boot camp tomorrow.
Oh, with Tashi?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about that afterwards. Yeah, get your workout on. Shake your ass a little bit. Blur, you got anything to say?
Nah, man. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Glad to be back on the show. Hope everybody have a great night. Shout out to the 49ers about to go to the Super Bowl again. Everybody put your money on San Francisco. Let's go get paid.
Y'all are Mr. Irrelevant. New York, you got anything?
Look, all I'm going to say is I'm glad to be back. It's been a couple of weeks off. I thank you for this opportunity to talk my shit and everything. It's been a long time. I've been waiting. So I'm definitely looking forward to the next show. You up?
Yeah, we'll definitely pick it up. There's going to be no theme music going out because that part is broke. Shout out to M-Extra. He called in. Sorry we couldn't get you on. Sorry for all the other people that we couldn't get on to because the computer broke. So the only way I can fix it is shut down the whole show and restart it, and I feel like doing that. So no theme music. We can do it in our heads. You said, Jake, you better watch out. You're coming to get you. I'm going to shoot you because I'm white. Good night. Shut the shit in. Welcome back.